And now, here is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Do you stop during the day, in the morning, at noon, or in the evening, to give thanks for the blessings and opportunities you enjoy? How can intelligent human beings live in a world with so much love, beauty, and grandeur, and never give thanks to the one from whom all blessings flow? Is it not appropriate to join in singing Rebecca Weston's beautiful song, Father, We Thank Thee? Father, we thank Thee for the night and for the pleasant morning light, for rest and food and loving care, and all that makes the day so fair. Help us to do the things we should, to be to others kind and good, in all we do, in work or play, to grow more loving every day. William Shakespeare's play, King Henry VI, urges men and women, let never day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord has done. There are many Old Testament passages that emphasize thanksgiving. King David rejoiced when the Ark of God was brought to a tent that he had pitched for it. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the Ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And say, Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name, and glory in Thy praise. 1 Chronicles 16:4, 7, 8, 34, and 35. Most Bible students are familiar with this beautiful psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 100. The New Testament has much to say about thanksgiving. Christ expressed thanks on the occasion of instituting the Lord's Supper. I shall read from Luke's record. He took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, and divide among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread, and gave thanks, and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22:17-20. On one occasion, Jesus and his disciples went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. An enormous number of people followed him because of the miracles he had performed on the diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. When Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He says unto Philip, Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Jesus asked Philip that question to try him. He already knew what he was going to do. One of the disciples told Jesus there was a lad in the crowd who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Jesus instructed his disciples to have the crowd to sit down. There were about 5,000 men plus the women and children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them who were set down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they would. John 6:1-11. These two incidents, the institution of the Lord's Supper and the multiplying of the loaves and the fish, should teach us how very important it is to be thankful. On both occasions, the Son of God, the Creator and the Sustainer of this universe, felt a need to give thanks. Christ also offered thanks at the resuscitation of his friend Lazarus. Jesus instructed some of the men to remove the stone from the grave of Lazarus. Martha protested, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days." And Jesus said unto her, "Did I not say unto you, that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead had been laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." John 11:39-42. The Apostle Paul continually thanked God for his many blessings, including the fellowship he enjoyed with his brothers and sisters in Christ. 8 of Paul's 13 epistles begin with his thankfulness for fellow Christians. I shall give you just a few examples. To the church of our Lord at Rome, Paul wrote, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Romans 1:8. Paul also thanked God for the Philippians. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship from the first day until now." Philippians 1:3-5. One other example will have to suffice today. Paul had never actually met the Colossian Christians, and yet he wrote, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." Colossians 1:3. Our Heavenly Father demands that we pray for all men. Paul wrote to a young preacher as follows, "I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." 1 Timothy 2:1-2. "Paul, do you mean I should give thanks for crooked politicians, corrupt judges, and other immoral leaders?" Have we forgotten that Paul lived at the time Nero ruled in the Roman Empire? Most, if not all, of the Roman rulers were cruel, perverted, and diabolical. Yet Paul asked Christians to pray for them and give thanks where thankfulness was in order. He did not want members of the church to thank God for the vile conduct of the Roman emperors. But there were some good features of the Roman Empire. We have all heard of Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. The Roman emperor sought to maintain peace in the nation. One of man's greatest mistakes is failure to be thankful for the great blessings God has so graciously bestowed upon us. Jesus Christ provides wonderful insight into the sin of ingratitude. Luke tells the story of 10 lepers who cautiously approached Jesus to be healed. They pled with him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of the lepers were cleansed, but only one turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." Luke 17:12-19. Are these 10 lepers representative of the human family? Do only 10% of us actually express gratitude to God and to others for the blessings they bring into our lives? Leprosy was the most dreaded disease in ancient times. There was no cure for it. Lepers had to isolate themselves from their families and from others. When they ventured out in public, they had to cry as they approached others, "Unclean, unclean." The 10 lepers Jesus healed could go back to their regular routines in life. They could rejoin their families and the rest of society. but 9 of the 10 did not appreciate what Jesus Christ had done for them. Paul outlines the miserable moral conditions that prevailed in Rome in the first century of the Christian era. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold, literally hold down or suppress, the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1:18-22. The American people have an abundance of reasons for giving thanks to our Maker. Thanksgiving Day, as a special day to give thanks, was first observed after the Pilgrims enjoyed the first harvest in Plymouth. During the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, American presidents have proclaimed National Thanksgiving Days. America's first president named Thursday, November the 26th, a day of thanks for the ratification of our Constitution. Abraham Lincoln was the first to proclaim a National Thanksgiving Day on the fourth Thursday in November. Two brief excerpts from Abraham Lincoln should help us to understand the wisdom of setting aside a special day of Thanksgiving. R. Daniel Watkins' book, An Encyclopedia of Compelling Quotations, includes the following quotation from Abraham Lincoln. "It has seemed to me fit and proper that the gifts of God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday in November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven." Page 707. David Limbaugh's new book, Persecution, How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity, quotes Abraham Lincoln as saying, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday in November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Page 69. In spite of the precedent that all American presidents have set, and in spite of the almost universal celebration of Thanksgiving the fourth Thursday in November, many radical groups within American society are making an effort to eliminate this special observance or to remove all religious meaning attached to it. David Limbaugh's outstanding book, Persecution, quotes the National Education Association's affirmation of its belief that Thanksgiving is the recognition of unity and rich American diversity that was embodied in the settlement of America. The association further believes that this national holiday must celebrate the coming together of peoples and the inclusion of all immigrants as part of this great diverse country. Page 70. One American school teacher told his students that Thanksgiving meant we are thankful to the Indians. A child went home and told his mother what the teacher had said. The mother visited the principal of the school and told him that Thanksgiving means we are thankful to God. He ignorantly responded, "That's your opinion." No wonder millions of Americans are discouraged about our school systems. Many radicals in the National Education Association, along with the Un-American Civil Liberties Union, are working diligently to remove all vestiges of religion from the public schools and from our national life. I urge you to use your influence to keep that from happening. I know that most of you have a long list of people, places, and things for which you are thankful. Your list probably is very similar to mine. For the next few minutes, I will share with you some of the great blessings for which I am thankful. I am grateful that I was born into a Christian home. My parents not only gave me life, They also gave me love. Their chief desire in life was to rear their children to become and to remain faithful Christians. They decided long before the 12 children came on the scene to devote their lives to serving God. Never in my years at home did I ever hear my parents discuss whether they were going to attend all the services of a local church. They apparently had made that decision early in their married life and never wavered from it. Growing up in that background provided the inspiration and encouragement for me to become a gospel preacher. I thank God for Marvin and Susie Claiborne, my godly parents. I am thankful I was born and reared in the United States of America. I am fully aware of some of the problems we face in our nation. But this country has provided more freedom and opportunities than any other country in the history of the world. The United States Constitution, one of the greatest documents human beings ever created, grants us the freedom to worship God as we believe He desires. It provides the right to choose our occupations or professions, to participate in the way our government operates, to speak our minds on crucial issues facing our nation, and to live where we please. We should be concerned about the radicals in our society, such as the American Civil Liberties Union, the People for the American Way, the survivalist groups, the militias, that are working around the clock to remove or to modify many of these freedoms. We must not take our freedoms for granted. I thank God every day that for 53 1/2 years, Molly was a huge part, of my life. I do not have the words to tell you how I have grieved over her death, but I was blessed beyond belief that she was my loving wife for more than a half century. In my book, Restoring God's Pattern for the Home, I wrote these words about Molly. During this special week for us, our 50th wedding anniversary, I take great delight in telling you of my wife's qualities. I am grateful to God that I married her. I would not exchange that privilege for all the wealth in the world. I pray God's special blessings to be upon her and upon us as we continue to travel together. May God bring us together in His eternal home. Page 176. My Molly passed to her eternal reward on October the 12th, 2002. I look forward to our reunion. I thank God for our two sons and for their families. Both of our sons are active in the church. They're good husbands and good fathers. I'm sure I am biased, but I have not known men who were more devoted to their children. Molly and I often expressed our gratitude for our sons who were concerned about their parents and who regularly communicated their love for us. During their mother's last illness, our sons and their families attended to her as faithfully as anyone could. They made sacrifices to be with her and to show their devotion to her. She left this world knowing of the great love her husband and her sons had for her. I am grateful I work under a capable and committed eldership. Our three elders would not be happy if I did not preach the whole counsel of God. I'm also thankful that I work with people who are devoted to serving God. As of this Thanksgiving, I will have been preaching the gospel for 60 years. I honestly believe more of the West Fayetteville people are active in serving God than any other congregation I know. Molly loved the people at West Fayetteville. In fact, Molly loved all the people where we worked during our 53 years of marriage. I am thankful the people also loved her. I have said from the pulpit many times, the churches where I have preached may have been ready for me to go, but they were never ready for Molly to go. No preacher ever had a more supportive companion. I am thankful for her encouragement. Most of all, I am thankful to God Almighty for His grace and mercy and love. The book I mentioned a few minutes ago, An Encyclopedia of Compelling Quotations, includes these expressions of gratitude. Geoffrey Chaucer wrote, "Look up on high and thank the God of all." The author of the following sentiment is not known. If you can't be thankful for what you receive, be thankful for what you escape. Gerhard Frost said, "And let us give thanks for someone to thank." Page 706. Atheism has to be the bleakest and most depressing philosophy in the world. Have you ever wondered if atheists are ever thankful? When they do feel thankful, to whom do they express thanks? I close today with Paul's admonition to the Philippians. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Thank you for listening today, and may our Heavenly Father richly bless you.